could you possibly conceive of life without light? In the beginning of time, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. How quickly the world would change if suddenly there was no light. We have to remember that God is the Creator God. And just as easily as he created light to shine, God could restrict and withdraw. But consider the ramifications today if suddenly there was no light. We could no longer see, for one thing, because light coming to our eyes makes seeing possible. We could no longer eat. Green plants use light from the sun to grow and to make food. And all the food we eat comes from plants such as vegetables or from the animals that thrive in the vegetation grown. Without light, we couldn't breathe because the very plants produce oxygen necessary for life itself. Ultimately, without light, we couldn't exist because the light from the sun heats the earth, and without the sun's light, crops couldn't ripen, they wouldn't grow, and the earth would become so cold that nothing could live. To illustrate that point, all you have to do is go into a cave. Go towards the back of the cave and ask yourself a question, where is the vegetation? There is none. Because there is no light. What is light? Light is a form of energy. And more particularly, light derives from a source which is self-existent, self-sufficient. Daylight that I've been speaking of, it is sourced from the sun. When we think of the gospel that John introduces us, he introduces us to the true light. And if you turn back to John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, we read in the verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That teaching is confirmed over in John chapter 7 as well. In the chapter 8 that we're dealing with. There in the verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in these opening verses of John chapter 8, he is beginning to expose the darkness of man's heart. Before him, a woman caught in the act of adultery has been brought. The narrative is before us. And Jesus Christ, as these people are seeking to beguile him, to trap him in his words, the true light begins to shine. and upon the consciences of these individuals that brought this woman to His presence. The light of the world begins to shine, a torchlight of truth, searching the interior of the heart, of the soul, of the mind. Jesus Christ, in this text of Scripture, identifies Himself as the light of the world. And it is upon that subject, and taking that verse as our text, that we want to consider the gospel, the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, firstly, I want you to notice with me the nature of the light. Because Jesus here, He is seen to be the light of the world in terms of appearance. Now, when we think of the appearance of light, it comes to us in two ways. Firstly, as a veiled light. Now, the one of whom we read in John chapter 1, and the verses 10 and 11 that I read moments ago, let me just read them again to you. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Why did the world not know Jesus Christ that John speaks of here? They knew Him not because He was veiled. As though a curtain had been drawn, His true nature, His true identity was hidden from them. The nature of this light that we're looking at, which Jesus says, I am the light of the world, we can view it in terms of His appearance as a veiled light. The same could be said of the two that walked the Emmaus road. You remember them in Luke chapter 24 in the verse 16. The verse says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. Now all power dwelt inherently within Jesus Christ as He walked the scene of time. He could say, all power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Jesus Christ is the Creator of this world. We read of that in John chapter 1. I mention it again in the verse 3. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ is the Creator of the world. But for all purposes, that veil was drawn. Not only is He the Creator of the world, but He's the Sustainer of the world. Because through Him and by His power, He sustains all things, as Hebrews 1 in the verses 2 and 3 would tell us. Now Jesus Christ, although He was a veiled light, in His nature, He was and is both God and man. In two distinct natures, yet one person forever. That means that Jesus Christ was as truly God as He was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He is both God and man in two distinct natures. That is the mystery of godliness. Now in the Old Testament, this was exemplified to us through Gideon's earthen pitcher. It's a wonderful picture, teaching of Jesus Christ. Now you will recall the time when Gideon and the 300 with him broke the pitcher, and the darkness around the camp of the Midianites and the Amalekites was brilliantly illuminated. The enemy took flight and they fled. But just like that picture of clay, Jesus Christ had a body of clay just like you and I. But inside that body of clay, just like the picture, there was a light that burned perpetually. And you see, Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world. Although we had our features, our countenance, our design, our makeup, yet He is both God and man and two distinct natures and yet one person forever. A veiled light. While He walked this earth in human body, in a body just like ours, enshrined within and folded within was the divine nature. A veiled light. Also an unveiled light. The psalmist says in Psalm 36 in the verse 9, in thy light shall we see light. That is a prophecy. Surely of Jesus Christ. Now think of that verse again. Listen to it carefully. In thy light shall we see light. You see, only when this light is revealed can the whole world that languisheth in darkness behold the light of life. There came the time when the light of the world would reveal Himself to heathen darkness. There came the time when Jesus Christ would draw back the curtain, when He would reveal Himself as God the Son and the Son of God. And He did that when He walked this scene of time in many occasions. Now Jesus Christ lived in the year of our Lord. This is the year of our Lord 2014. And God did permit the light to break forth from earth's His picture, just as He did to the two that walked the Emmaus road, as He did to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road, when suddenly there shined around about Him a light from heaven. Jesus Christ revealed Himself to mankind, and still He's revealing Himself to sinners. Through the preaching of His Word, He's revealing Himself to you just now. Because He of whom we preach is Christ, Lord God, eternal, unchangeable, in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. But the greatest of the unveilings surely had to be the transfiguration of Matthew chapter 17. And the verse 2. What a tremendous unveiling. Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. But secondly, I want you to consider with me the functions of this light. Light is, of course, contrary to darkness. And this is certainly in view in Genesis 1 and the verse 4, where it tells us that God divided the light from the darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. Light penetrates darkness. Light pierces through darkness. If you consider what I've said in another way, darkness recedes with the dawning of a new day. And therefore light is more powerful than darkness, praise God. and the light of God and the liberty of the gospel is more powerful than the darkness of sin and Satan. But what are some of the functions of light? As we think of light and we think of Christ, surely what are the functions of Jesus Christ? Well, when we think of light, light guides. At one time or other, we have all seen the benefit of light. Whether that be a car light, a torch light, or the beam projected from a lighthouse. That beam, it shines forth. It shows the motorist the way ahead. It shows the pedestrian, shines upon the path before them. It warns the vessels in the deep blue sea of pending danger from rocks. Light guides. And when we think of the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is it not the chief function and the desire of Jesus Christ to lead men from the darkness of their sin and depraved natures, and to bring them into the glorious light of the gospel of peace and love and liberty? The psalmist said these wonderful words, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Thy word. That's another term for Christ. Because there in John 1 we read of that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world. And one of the chief functions of Christ is to guide. And today, my sinner friend, He is seeking to guide you through His Word, that you would leave the debauchery of sin that enslaves you and shake off the shackles. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. The light is shining upon the road that leads you to the Lamb of God." But besides the fact that the light guides, it also guards. When out of bondage Israel came, a sea before them lay. They panicked. They were frightened. No doubt they said to one another, "Why did we leave Egypt?" As they looked behind them and they saw a vast dust cloud rising to the sky, they knew it was the Egyptians in hot pursuit. And they said to each other, "The wilderness has shut us in." They felt danger. They felt the threat of pending death. But what happened in that historical narrative in the book of Exodus? Do you remember that the God of Israel, He had given them a pillar of cloud by day to lead them, and of fire by night? And what did God Jehovah do that night? He took the pillar of cloud and He moved it. And it stood between the encampments of Egypt and Israel. And unto the one it gave light. Guarded them. But unto the other, there was darkness. Can I say to the child of God in the midst today, there is comfort, there is sweet peace, knowing that we that are in Christ are kept by the power of God. We are preserved and protected. The Lord is with us. We walk in the light, and we are kept in the light as He is in the light. Thank God today for Him who is the light of the world. Because He protects us day by day, though the going is tough, though it's rugged, though it's hard, yet isn't it good to know that there is a pillar of fire that stands between us and the world, God in the midst. What a blessed thought. Most people feel more secure by day than they do by night. And what is the reason for that? Because under the cover of darkness, man performs his dastardly deeds. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I wonder today, is that you? Do you love darkness rather than light because your deeds are evil? Oh, tonight may God lead you to the light. Can I say also of the function of light? Not only does it guide and guard, but it heals. The last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, in the chapter 4, it has the most revealing portion of God's word. It speaks. Let's just turn back to it. Good for us to turn to it. Malachi in the chapter 4. Just turn to that portion of Scripture with me. Notice with me in the verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. With healing in his wings. The rest of the verse, not relevant, but it's a tremendous blessing. Think of that thought again. The Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings. Who is the Son of Righteousness? It's Jesus Christ. And he arises with healing in his wings. Have you often wondered why people on a sunny day are satisfied and happy? Isn't it a wonderful sight at times to behold as you're traveling on the road and you see the beams, the rays of light penetrating through the clouds? It's a wonderful picture and it gladdens your heart. You know, there is no greater joy to the child of God than when Jesus Christ, who is the Son of Righteousness, when He shines His smiling face, all sorrows He does erase. It's a blessed thing to be a child of God. It's a blessed thing to be saved, to know your sins forgiven. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice, filled with rapture. Oh, the Son of Righteousness. May you, dear sinner, as you traverse the pathway of gloom, of darkness, may you be drawn to this great light. May you rejoice in the riches of Christ. Nearly through, I want finally to think upon the conditions of this light. Because here in John chapter 8, and the verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There is a principle being laid down here. Christ must be first. He must be the leader. He must be preeminent. The Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. A Christian is one who follows Christ. The chorus says, follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. But tell me, in the meeting tonight, who or what are you following? Are you in the light? As He is the light. Or are you putting other things before Christ? What is hindering you from coming to Him who is the Savior, the light of the world? Is it because you prefer other things? We cannot follow Christ if we are trailing the world. We must forsake them, forsaking all others. I take Christ. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Is your eye single today? Have you a single eye to God's glory? Is anyone ever a loser for choosing Christ? I tell you, no. Paul didn't lose by following Christ. Though he was imprisoned, though he was whipped, you do not lose by following Christ. Our brother testified before one of the pieces that he sang, it's not an easy thing to be a Christian. And it's certainly not. But choosing Christ. To those who choose Christ, there are promises. And the promise here in the verse 12 is, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You'll not walk in the darkness of ignorance and error. You'll not walk in the darkness of perplexity and confusion. But you will have the light of life. Light is essential to life, as we said at the outset. Without light, we are doomed to failure. The Bible talks about our final days as the shadow of death. And if God tarry His coming till every single one of us, through natural causes or otherwise, perish and die and leave the scene of time. Every single one of us will pass through the valley of the shadow of death. I thank God today that I have in my heart and in my soul the light of life. Because I have taken Jesus Christ as my own and my personal Savior, I am saved. And I can say, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I will pass through the valley of the shadow of death, hand in hand with my Redeemer. What about you? Jesus said, I am the light of life. He's my Savior. Will you not make Him your Savior too? Our service is over. We're not going to sing our final hymn. But dear soul in the gathering, if God has been speaking to you, I urge you, get to the light for His name's sake.